Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice.
Mona Shaw, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, Mark.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. And I realize today we're going to be talking about E2, but I thought this podcast was EB5 focused.
Well, aha. It is. Today is a little different. We are talking about E2 to EB5, which is a very, very hot topic.
Okay. And we have a full house here in order to help us explore this hot topic, right?
That's right. I have Rebecca.
Hi, Mark. A pleasure to be on here again.
And I also have a guest, Kamran Kirmani from New Ride Transportation Group.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Kamran. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. So, Mark, even though E2 might be a new area for some people, we're not really focusing that much on the actual E2. Maybe we'll mention a few things here and there. But today, what we really want to do is focus on E2 to EB5 and how it's actually working, who it's appealing to, and all the advantages and disadvantages.
It sounds great. I know I get a lot of questions about the E2 visa. I think because it's simpler, it's easier to understand. It does have some restrictions, as well as it doesn't have, some of the benefits of EB5.
Well, it's not a green card, and that's
exactly the
bottom line here. It's a temporary work visa, work-related visa, and it's temporary for as long as your business is open. So we have people in our office who've been on E2s for 20-something years, and they decided they didn't want to change from E2. But at the end of the day, it's not a green card. And the other big disadvantage is that children are only included with an E2 if they are under 21.
So Mona, just to add on, so the E2, you have to have a treaty with the U.S., so it's not for everyone.
No, it's not. It's very good. It's a very interesting point, Rebecca, that you can only be, it's only people from certain countries. And we are going to be discussing this with other guests at length, and how to get different passports from different countries, and which is the best country and the fastest, etc. But that's not the focus of our show today.
No, it's not. So we want to discuss the E2 into EB5.
Right. And some great technicalities. But first of all, Rebecca, who does this really appeal to? I mean, coming in as E2 and then transitioning to EB5, it seems like a long way around to get to a point.
Well, the E2, one point is that it's speed. A lot of people, if you're lucky enough to be in a treaty country, you can get in here under 3 weeks to come into the U.S.
Well, it's the processing time.
Exactly.
Weeks, right?
Exactly. So as we've seen a little bit of slowdown from our investors from mainland China for the EB5 program, we've seen the E2 become popular for China. And
Well, it's not just China, though. And I do want to emphasize that, for example, one of the highest number of people in this country on E2s is actually British people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it is people who perhaps don't want to live here permanently and they just want a business access.
And it's also great for those who don't want to be taxed in the U.S.
Right. Yeah. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Because under E2, you have a very different type of taxation. You're not taxed on worldwide income. You're only taxed on whatever income you make here in the U.S. So for people who do have income in other countries in which they don't want to be taxed and bring that into the U.S., the E2 is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Also, in addition, this E2 has also helped with those who are not sure if the U.S. is the right place for them. Mm-hmm. So it's very, as we mentioned, it's a temporary visa. So they can come in, run their business, see how things are going, and then can eventually stay here indefinitely on the visa or, as our program is today, turn it into an EB5 and eventually get their green card.
Yeah, but one of the big things about E2 is people ask straight away, well, how much money do I have to invest? And they don't have to invest the same amount. There's not a fixed amount like there is with EB5. You can really invest as much or as little as you want depending on the business. However, there's a huge caveat there because the business must be viable. And one of the main reasons that we are seeing the increase in the amount, minimum amount in EB-5 is because 500,000 is just totally unrealistic in today's market. So when we get people coming to us, we get them all the time who want to just spend 50,000, 100,000, and they want an E2 visa. The first thing we say is that, well, the biggest problem you're going to have is whether or not the business is viable. And if it's not viable, USCIS will deny your application on the grounds of marginality.
Exactly. And although marginality doesn't, you know, it's not required that you have to have jobs like the EB-5 program, but you just have to show that you're doing more than just supporting your family.
Right. The last thing that the government wants to do is to bring a family into the United States, and suddenly this family just do not have money to live on.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the main reasons that E2s get denied is, I would say, marginality.
I 100% totally agree with you on that, Mona.
So today what we thought we would do is give an example of a project. That's why we have invited Kamran into our office. I was going to say into the studio. It actually has become a studio.
The studio office, yeah. And Mona, as you mentioned, we do have Kamran Kirmani from New Ride Transportation. And we've had New Ride on before, but not Kamran. Kamran, let me ask you this one question. Are you guys still doing EB-5?
Yes, we are doing currently EB-5. We just finished our first offering of our 80 investors, and now we are heading into our New Ride Medical Transportation, which is going to be our second offering. So the question, if we are doing EB-5, that's correct. Yes, we are.
We are still doing EB-5, Mark, but they are one of the only projects which are also offering investors E2 and E2 to EB-5. So that's why we thought they would be ideal to come on our show.
Yeah, definitely. Now I can see it all coming together now. But I'm wondering, how does it come together out there in the field? How does an E2 to EB-5 transition work?
Well, Mark, the way it works is that a person who would want to do E2 to EB-5 is obviously wanting to come to the U.S. to do E2, perhaps for speed, for the sake of speed. So they would file, or rather, we would file a petition, an E2 petition for them. The petition would be based on a business, because for E2, you have to have a business. It's very like EB-5 in that respect, except that we don't have to have job creation. So I would start straight away, Kamran. I know, you've been in the transportation for many years. What's your background?
Well, I've been in transportation industry and automotive industry since 1999, and I can say that I have seen it all.
Right. Because usually when people are doing projects like this for E2, and if they're thinking of EB-5, then they tend to do things like food franchises, Papa John's Pizza or something. Why would an investor, consider transportation?
Transportation has always been historically been a very viable project, return on investment, and it's a recession-proof business. So it kind of makes it very ideal for somebody that is trying to do an E2 in the United States, where it makes it a lot easier than any other business.
Oh, so you mentioned ROI. You mean return on investment,
That's
right?
That's correct.
And what is, for any of our listeners, what do we mean by return on investment?
A return on investment, meaning what kind of profitability they will be getting at the end of their investment. And that number is quite higher when you compare it to other businesses like Papa John's or Domino's Pizza or any other business that you compare it with.
So the profitability and viability of transportation generally is much higher than fast food, is what you're saying.
That's correct.
Mm. And I suppose also, you mentioned also that it's a recession-proof project. Mm-hmm. You always need cars.
That's correct.
But New Ride is based in New York City.
That's correct.
New York City is obviously a hub for transportation. What about other cities?
Well, it's not that we are limited to New York City only, but we are expanding so much in New York that we really didn't have any time to go in other cities. However, New York is where everything is happening. I mean, New York, where transportation business is one of the most successful businesses in the world. So we like being here. Let's put it that way. It's not that we don't want to go to other cities or not to. There's so much to do here that we haven't fulfilled that yet.
So do you see yourself expanding in the future to other cities around the U.S. or maybe even globally?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. Our intentions always are to grow nationally and internationally. But we are still a young company and we're still in growing mode.
Right. And you're growing very fast and you're doing very well. But tell me, Kamran, if an investor decides they want to do use transportation for an E2 project, which they would eventually move to EB5, do they have to live in New York City?
With NewRide, the platform that we provide with our technology to our investors, they could be anywhere in the world. They could see their assets, how they're moving, what kind of money they're generating. Anything that's happening to their assets, they could see anywhere from the world.
Wow. So here we are. Magic world again, Rebecca. Technology.
Technology, yes.
The world is changing because of technology, I have to say. So if I asked about, you know, going back to the viability part of it and the ROI part of it, let's discuss a little bit by comparing, directly comparing with, say, a Papa John's pizza, which I pick up on Papa John because there are so many E2 Papa John programs.
Sure.
But for a Papa John's pizza, for example, you would have to have the investor be in the same state, for example, probably work or maybe have a management company, but you'd be limited to a certain locality to where your Papa John's pizza is, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Plus, what I want to bring up another point is that if somebody investing in Papa John's, I do not know how that would transition into an EB5 project where we, as NewRide, we are providing an investor a platform that he could come in or she could come in as an investor in E2 and maybe not like it and say, you know what, this is not something that I want. Or if they do like it and they say, you know what, we want to live in New York or we want to be a permanent resident of the United States, they could kind of transition in within the same project. Mm-hmm. So they do not have to either look for another Papa John's or buy three or four of them to turn and transition into EB5. And, you know, I'd rather be living in New York than in Idaho. So how you want to compare that?
Well, I shouldn't say too much because Mark is going to tell us off. We probably have listeners from Idaho. So
that we do. And we have a co-host here in Atlanta.
There you go. I like Atlanta, by the way.
Great. So do I.
But you're absolutely right, because the bottom line is between E2 and EB5, it's because EB5 is all about job creating.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to have job creation per se in E2. We could easily have an E2 program with maybe two or three jobs,
exactly.
Right?
But for us as immigration attorneys, it really hits all the criteria for E2, and it also hits criteria for EB5. So we like working with projects like that. So it's not only is it a viable project, we're hitting it from all points. It's, you know, going to get you your rate of return, and it's also going to help you get into the United States, whether it be E2 or transitioning from E2 to EB5.
Right, because even right now, the timeline, if you want to do EB5, it's a year and a half is the waiting period regardless. Mm-hmm. Even if you file for EB5, you cannot be in the United States unless you're in some kind of non-immigrant visa capacity. And for people from mainland China, where there's a much, much longer wait, something like E2, where you can come in and eventually, yes, transition over to EB5, or maybe not. Maybe invest in a different project for EB5 and just stay here on your E2. That's also a possibility. But as far as, again, going back to the Papa John pizza example, you'd have to create 10 full-time positions. The biggest problem, the biggest hurdle that we have seen in many of these type of food franchises is that you could create the job, but they just stop being viable, right?
Exactly. And then you have to remember, it depends on how much you want to invest into the project as well. So you might be investing more money if you're trying to turn it into an EB5 project rather than the minimum amount, you're going to end up investing more.
Well, we have several cases, Rebecca, right, where the investor just cannot spend more money. They're like, we don't know what else to spend on because we're limited, we're boxed in. So that is also another problem. And as Kamran mentions, you'd have to buy several like Papa John pizzas.
Exactly.
So, but if you went into transportation, Kamran, how do you solve the EB5 issue of job creation?
Being a EB5 project as we are, we always have such a big buffer of jobs already. So, you know, anybody that kind of transitions from E2 to EB5, we always have more jobs within our project that are like more than what we needed.
Well, it's because transportation is an infrastructure project. So that's always a lot of jobs.
That's correct. So plus what I would also like to add is that E2 is probably, in my opinion, it's like a testing period of any investor and say, you know what, this is what I want to do. Maybe they don't want to live in United States, so maybe they don't feel comfortable in the United States. Plus, the other biggest benefit is the taxation, which I'm sure that it could appeal to any investor that if they are a permanent resident of the United States, that they're subject to taxation wherever they earn money in the world.
Right, so, right. Well, when we discuss the Caribbean, which we're going to discuss on another podcast, we are going to go into the taxation issues also. But you're absolutely right. It does give somebody the advantage of at least testing the waters.
And there's no limit of what you can do with this transportation company. You know, you can go, you can keep it small or continue to grow.
Again, at NewRide, the fact that we provide a platform to any investor between the technology, between how to buy cars, between where the cars are maintained and repaired, the most important thing is the compliance of it. Well, so we kind of give all that expertise to our investors where they do not have to spend time and money learning it first and then start it. So they get going from day one because we have that expertise that in transportation industry.
Well, you just answered my next question, which was, can anybody do this? Can anybody just walk in and set this up?
Anybody can do anything, but it's the question is, what cost are you willing to pay to do it? The transportation business is a very, very compliance complex business where somebody will spend so much time and energy learning the compliance and all that, where they could be wasting all that money instead of investing with a project like us, where we could kind of, you know, show them the way or pass on our expertise that this is how it needs to be done and it needs to be done properly from day one. Because if you miss one part of it, it could cost you a lot of money down the road.
Wow. Well, so, yeah, compliance is like that, though. I think any projects which have heavy-duty compliance have this problem. And if you go back to a food franchise, you have compliance in food franchises, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so not only are they going to be wasting money, you don't want to waste the energy and the time either.
That's correct.
Right. So in a project like this, if somebody was coming in and having and putting an E2 project up, they would basically partner with a company like NewRide as a management company, I'm presuming.
That's correct.
Right. Rebecca, can you have management companies in the E2 program?
Yes, you can. I know there are a lot of issues concerning that area, but with the right team, you know, you can do anything and make it work.
Unlike the L1, the investor doesn't have to be the professional expertise in that particular industry. I mean, this person is a treaty investor, technically. So they can, you know, hire a management company to make their investment more profitable, right?
Right. And that's exactly what does happen, Mark. And what bothers us sometimes is that we often see companies, because, you know, we go overseas a lot outside of China. Most of these shows and, you know, the seminars and stuff that we attend and we speak at, they often contain people from the rest of the world. And we often see other programs and other agents saying that, oh, we can get you to into the U.S. This is how. And we're really unsure as to whether these people who don't live in the U.S., who have really no idea of you know, compliance issues or guidance of anything, any sort, do they really know what they're talking about? Because, you know, location is huge. Kamran mentioned before that, yeah, they're in New York City, which is viable for cars, for transportation. And transportation probably is something which could go over to other cities. But for something like a food franchise, location is probably paramount.
One more thing I just wanted to add. When you come into the franchise business, you're kind of limited to what territories they have available. So yes, you would like to do a Papa John's in New York, but there's a good chance there might not be any territories available in New York. I mean, like I said, the closest territory could be Idaho. So,
but back to Idaho, Mark.
Nothing against our three listeners in Idaho. Well, let me ask you this. NewRide certainly has experience in doing this, starting with EB-5. And it sounds like they have taken what's worked with EB-5 with the investment platform and the technology that is used to drive it and the operations of buying the cars and operating the cars. It sounds like you scaled it down and positioned it for E2, but that also brings in, well, franchising, right? Because I as I understand it, an E2 investor has to own 50% or more of the company, where EB-5, that's not the case. So it sounds like you're doing this through franchising. Were there any challenges going down that path? One, is that the path you went down? And were there any challenges in going down that path to break this up into individual, smaller franchises?
Well, in our projects, I wanted to emphasize that any given time, the investor owns the whole 100% of what they're investing into it. So every individual is treated as a separate portfolio. So through the technology, an investor can actually look and see what's the status, what's going on, what's the profitability of his company from anywhere in the world. So everybody has their own portfolio. That's what it comes down to. And we, as Newright, we are just a managing partner to all these investors, where by joining the pool, the investor has a benefit of enjoying the reaps of big fleets, like getting cheaper insurance, buying cars at a cheaper price, accessibility to much bigger scale of clients. So these are the benefits that we will provide them in return. And they're buying, you know, what they are doing is they are buying these assets, so they're giving it to us to manage it for them. So I hope I answered your question.
Somewhat, but I think you're almost there. So essentially, you're taking what was obviously a larger project and larger operations, and you're splitting up into smaller projects in which this E2 investor can own 100% of that, but it's a smaller project?
Not really, because the actual project is not getting divided, Mark. They're basically just, as Kamran mentions, utilizing the resources. And I think, Rebecca, you mentioned that you would do that in a franchise as well.
Yes, exactly. So it's similar to as if you were running a Papa John's, that you would have to have a management company, because you can't come in here without a franchise agreement.
What I wanted to point out is, just to give you an example, when you go in a franchise business, and we're all talking about Papa John's for now, everything is already premeditated, and they tell you where you're going to order your stuff from and how much you will be charging and where you're going to get your Coke from. So it's the same thing. We kind of tell our investor, okay, this is a type of cars we need. This is what type of insurance we need. And then buying it through us, or, you know, us helping them, they get the benefits of, due to the fact that we at Newright own a huge fleet. And so we are allocated a fleet number, which means in reality that you could buy cars at much cheaper rate than any other person that goes to buy a car in a showroom. So those are the benefits that you get being part of the Newright Transportation Group that we are providing to our investors.
And what's also great is that Newright itself has so many components. And so, you know, as we were discussing, Mark, you know, Newright has their EB-5. They have separate EB-5 projects, and now they have their separate E2s. And each, as Kamran had mentioned, each investor for E2, it's their own portfolio. So, you know, we don't want the listener to think that they're coming in and pooling again all their money into one E2 project. It's something they own themselves, and Newright's there to help manage and help them through it.
And the whole point of bringing Newright into this podcast, Mark, was as an example of how one would transition from a successful E2 to EB-5. Because if now somebody wants to move over to EB-5, it's much easier to transition a project like this, especially where you have ownership and where you have control, and really where you have the ability to increase the assets and the amount you've invested, along with, of course, the biggest thing, the job creation. And it's a much easier project to expand, rather than, say, the problems that you see if somebody wants to do E2 to EB5 on a food franchise.
Right. It sounds like it. It sounds like if the investor was comfortable with how things are going and understands it, just wants to do more of it through the EB5, they can utilize the same business model and go through the EB5 route again with Newright and just expand it that way. So it makes sense.
Well, they could do that, or they could just leave it at E2 and do EB5 with another regional center. Or perhaps they already have done it and they're just simply waiting. So the whole idea of coming in on E2 is to...
That makes sense, yeah. While you're waiting for your EB-5, why not just do this for an E2? That way you can come in with your spouse and, as you said, unmarried children under the age of 21, and you can live here as a non-immigrant with non-immigrant visa, but and wait for your EB-5. It makes sense.
Right, yeah. Right. And we do a lot of E2s generally, but as I have said before, only the larger ones tend to be more successful in today's market. Mm-hmm. The smaller ones just keep getting denied on marginality.
Mm-hmm. Mona, I also like to point another point is it's also a matter of how the investor feels. If he feels like he has to come here, spend the time and the energy of whatever project that he wants to join. Like, let's see if he does want to do Papa John's. Does he really want to get involved in the build out and, you know, do all those, groundwork. Where we, our project, the way we looked at it, we have done all the heavy lifting. So they come in, it could get started very quickly, and it's that if, I don't know if the time is a factor for them or not, but we the way our project is that we could get started in a matter of, a week,
Well, it's good to hear that, although we talk about EB-5 a lot on this show, that there are multiple paths to get to this country, whether it's through EB-5 or, in this case, using E-2 alongside or perhaps instead of an EB-5. Cameron Kermani, thank you so much for coming on and explaining to us how New Ride Transportation works in both an EB-5 and E-2 setting, as well as some of the transitions between the two.
Pleasure to be on the show.
And Mona, Rebecca, thank you as always.
Pleasure, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for being with us today on EB-5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw & Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB-5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB-5 Investment Voice.